Okay, we're live.
Live?
Isn't that exciting?
It is so exciting.
Tonight,
paper.
We're playing a game called The Red Writ. The Red Writ is a podcast that we do every single week, featuring the cast, Joe Buncombe, Andrea Elliot Johnson, Daniel Hulker, Drizzle, and Ken Howell.
It's not showing
every
up on
week
Twitch.
By that group of awesome people. We got a score by all lowercase letters and Mr. Interrupt, as well as a.
It's not showing up on Twitch.
It is. Just refresh your screen. So, thanks to our Patreon members, patreon.com/dreadlore, Tim Roberts, Daniel Hulker, Nostalgic, and Natalia Klein for all of that awesome support. Thank you, Couch Fire Media, as well for art and media productions. And most importantly, because we would really just be here in a place, just I don't even know if we'd be here. We would be lost, really, if we didn't have the story and genius of Twa Replay Productions keeping us connected into this devilishly doom-filled world called the Red Writ. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully it'll be a little bit more lively the rest of the night, because I know that my NPR public radio voice is pretty bleak right now. Hey everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Sorry, for some reason I don't know why it wasn't showing me it was online. I did refresh it and it showed up, so sorry about that.
Yeah, we're live and we're here.
So this is the Red Writ. It's a game that we're playing, we've been playing for some time. Let's briefly introduce everybody. We'll start with Andrea.
Hi, yeah, I am Andrea Elliott Johnson, and I play a character named Leah Mizrahi, who is a former IDF soldier and Mossad agent. She moved to the United States, particularly Detroit, to try and get away from, you know, the stuff going on where she was born, and hopefully live a more peaceful life, and was sorely mistaken on her choice.
What about you, Drizzle?
I'm Drizzle. I play Simon Vincent. He's a hard-boiled detective who tries to find the rational explanation to what's going on, even though a whole bunch of weird shit is happening now around him. And he misses his Buick.
And what about you, Ken?
I play a character, Nord Zetterberg. He is a very best friends with a character called Tony Cerniak. Like, he wants to hang out with Tony, really just get to know Tony better throughout the course of life, because Tony is really the idyllic person to be. He's a border guard. Tony's a border guard, and he was studying to be a priest and likes to read a lot. So Nord is definitely best friends with Tony.
And who is Tony?
He's a former priest that is a border guard. Really, all about great guy, avid reader, really amazingly cultured fellow, impulsive, like somebody you want on your team when things get tight.
Who's he played by?
He's played by a guy named Daniel Hulker.
So Hulker is going to be here a little bit later. I guess I should do a summary. Last game, a whole lot went down. Lord, I was looking at the summaries because we're re-uploading the podcast. It'll be called Dreadlore Live Play in the event that you're interested in checking it out. and I was looking through all the summaries. A lot has happened in this game. Obviously, I'm not going to go through all 19 episodes. We'll start with the last episode. You guys went to Bell Island, a place that no one should actually go, which is exactly why you went there. You were going to stop a seance or an occultist group from doing something. You're not really sure what they were trying to do, but you know it's no good. You get there. The weather is ridiculous in Detroit. Everything's frozen. All the electricity's out. It is apocalyptic weather. You trance through Belle Island. In fact, are able to disrupt at least part of the ritual using this weird theurgic cooler that flash freezes the entire region. And a bunch of people, a bunch of cultists in the process. You guys, man, what'd you do after that? You investigated this, what you assumed was a temple, where you found like a potluck of sorts. And in one of the storerooms, two dead bodies that were ritualistically laid out, which Nord promptly took his shotgun and made sure that they were dead. A lot of investigation went down, and you realized you could attempt to break the ice quite literally and go beneath the surface to whatever sunken temple or storeroom is down there, or you could go back to the coast, which is actually what you guys decided to do. So you go back to the coast. There's almost an earthquake of some sort as you're sitting there talking. I believe there was some PvP between Leah and Nord. Essentially, Nord had figured out a way to use alchemy to turn himself invisible and was trancing around invisibly. Leah made it her mission to convince Simon that the supernatural is real. And her way of doing this was to reveal Nord to Simon. This goes on for a bit. In the end, she is unable to convince Simon, but that's when a horror, a true horror from Quince, you know not where, although you guys might be able to guess, appears. I don't want to say it walks because it doesn't walk. It sort of slithers up from where the pool was. And you all do what every adventurer should do. And that is you shoot it with your guns and stab it and attempt to kill whatever this darkness is. Whether you were successful or not, you're not sure. You know that this monster rose up through the canopy, the thick trees, and when it did, leaving those trees, those ancient trees came crashing down, injuring most of you. I think Nord actually got out pretty unscathed. Mariah was saved. Her life was saved by Simon. And in the process, one of your own fell and was killed. But before we get there, hey, we'll put it on Simon this time. Who is Mariah? Can you describe this character?
Mariah is an 11-year-old. She is Leah's daughter. She has been along this ride with us because she knew the girls and stuff that basically have been missing or had been linked to maybe go missing. So that's why she's been with us this whole time.
And what are some of her characteristics?
My nickname for her is BB, which stands for Ball Buster, because she punched a guy straight in the nuts when I was fighting him. She's very precocious. Right now, though, she's probably flipping out after having seen the horror.
You look over, you see Tony has a tree through him, and he is already dead. It's about this time, as things are, the weight of all of that is crashing down. You're all trying to come to grips with your sanity, or having lost it, actually. I think most of you went to limbo, actually. There's somehow a light, a luminescence of sorts from within the deep within the forest behind you. And as almost like a bad 80s movie, like low frame rate, you turn, there's mist and stuff. There's this humanoid walking through the forest. Think like Gandalf the White in Fangorn Forest. You can't quite see the face. You can't quite tell the features, but it looks like a wizard in multicolored robes that are actually scintillating in colors, carrying a staff, gnarled root with a crystal on top that looks like a prism. Their features are just very difficult to distinguish. They're changing slowly between a man, a woman, a monster, an animal. It's completely not static. And leading behind this person, whose name you find out is Onus, is Simon, it's not Simon, is Tony Cerniak, alive. As a couple of you turn to see Tony's body, already like an ancient vampire's body with just dust. Or like the end of Indiana Jones. Just yeah. Rot before your eyes. And spoil and turn into dust and is no more. Even the blood is gone. As Tony is brought forward, and you have a conversation with this person who speaks in riddles and is from somewhere beyond. And it is as though you're in a dream, or incredibly high. That's where we're going to start, in that moment. So go around. What is your character doing? And sort of place your person, and the action is on you at that point. So we'll start with Nord.
Nord probably still has soil in his hands from grasping where Tony was, I guess, as he turned into ash, because Nord was deeply concerned about his friend passing to a different world. And did Tony's body, did it appear again?
So when you all turn to see this luminescent figure walking forward, yeah, out of the mist behind her, we'll say, she's leading Tony, who looks a little bewildered, sweaty, clammy. Think of like Han Solo coming out of the carbonite. He can see, he's looking around in wonder, almost as if he's woken up from a dream himself.
Yeah, so I think he's struggling to cope with, you know, that corporeal change from where Tony was to where Tony is. It is a, I think he's joyed about it, but I think he's definitely concerned and confused. I think he's still invisible, so there's that. And I think he's feeling a little reckless.
So the we'll say the action's on you. We are in the dread. You don't have to act, but you can. You can wait on the others, or the action is on you, so you can do something now if you want.
And Did Onus take off?
No, Onus is right there. We'll say about 20-ish feet away from you all. You guys are on the top of a bluff. Remember, you came up the stone path, and there's trees, and it sort of falls off. Onus and Tony are coming up that up the bluff through the underbrush and stuff, the wilderness, as in they're like stepping over rocks and roots and all that crap in this very thick forest. So they're not like right on you yet.
Oh, well, I think I'll talk to Onus, but I'll sort of run towards Onus.
Okay. What about you, Simon?
As I am getting up, I will be, because we looking at the wound that I have, and
trying
and trying to staunch the bleeding while also making sure Mariah is okay. That's what I, or so like I'm getting up and I'm trying to make it, like I said, so is not, try to help myself so that way I can continue going on.
Are you bidding anything, or are you just being careful?
I'll go ahead and bid my physicality, which is rigid. So that way I'm trying to, because I know I've seen people with wounds and stuff before. I'm doing my best to try and staunch the bleeding and making sure that I'm okay and can continue on till at least we can get some help.
That's a good question. What are your wounds and sanity at right now? What are they?
Oh, it's just I have one in each.
Okay. Yeah, so you're a little bit, you're actually wounded a little bit. yeah, bidding what is the bid again?
Rigid.
Bending rigid, your back hurts as you you pull yourself up and maybe pulled a muscle or strained a muscle in all this. Mariah is beneath you, head down, knees to her chest. There's leaves and stuff and whatnot, twigs in her hair. As you hear your back crack looking down, she looks up at you. There's a mixture of emotions on her face. You can tell, maybe at first it looks like she's extremely frightened because she has, tears in her eyes and maybe some cuts, like scrapes on her face. But you realize it's just adrenaline. She's way to the max, running on adrenaline. And she kind of smiles big at you for a moment and goes, "What happened?"
It's over now. You're safe.
She's shaking with it, but she does get up. You see that inner strength in her. And maybe somewhere not so deep in your mind, know that she's going to need lots of therapy. Leah, action's on you.
Leah will start also going up towards Onus and Tony. Basically, Leah would, I already asked her a couple things last time.
Well, describe what Leah kind of looks like first.
Leah, you mean like in terms of like her overall state or just like generally?
Yeah.
Probably she doesn't look very good. I don't think she got like any like obvious like things like, like impaled with a tree or anything last time, but she had quite a few injuries And they might, you know, most of them probably look superficial, but, you know, several of them will look pretty deep. You know, nothing's like terribly vital, but she probably have like several really good gashes on her arms and legs and probably on her abdomen as well.
Yeah, she's been beaten up over the last few days.
Yeah. And
you all have, or not all of you, but several of you have like stitches and all kinds of craziness.
Yeah. But Leah is, actually, she'll probably get partway towards Onis, but then, have a realization and then look back to make sure Mariah is okay.
Yeah, as, you step off the beaten path with Nord, it's immediate, and it's like Red River Gorge, there's no footpath where you're going. It is completely rough terrain. On a grade, it's slick and frosty and very difficult to traverse. And to do so quickly would likely mean you're going to fall down the hill. But perhaps not. You guys are legendary sleuths at this point. You get a few feet, and we'll say that Nord has gone about that far as well, as you turn and look and see the scene between Simon and your daughter. Yeah, the action is on you guys. Tony is just kind of looking around. Also, because Holker's not here, it kind of makes sense. He just doesn't seem... He seems out of it. He's unsure what's going on. It's pretty obvious. Dominating your view is this mythical person, though, who literally is glowing.
Tony.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say
Leah would, you know, turn to her after having asked her what she asked her last time about, you know, if she was Haresh Kagal and all that kind of stuff. So what exactly are you?
So you'll need to bid. Leah, you're sitting there, you check on Mariah, turn back around and to face, and looking down, you know, down the hill at Onis, as you look directly at her and start to speak, and your voice catches in your throat, there is a majesty to this person. It's difficult to say how tall she is. At first glance, maybe she was like 5'4". This woman could be 7 feet tall. As you're looking down, you see she's glowing. Your body won't respond to what your mind is trying to do. So what do you bid to speak?
I'm going to bid the spark.
All right, you'll have to explain that.
So that was the one when I had that 30. Sort of... Oh, is it? Okay, well, that... Yeah, because what happened was I took that when I had that sort of crisis of consciousness back at the club. And, you know, I sort of had that, you know, the sort of realization that, yeah, I'm doing stuff that probably isn't good, and I, you know, I'm going to try and rein it in, but that, you know, I'm doing it to protect the people I care about, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, as you remember that decision to take the big bite, to go deep in the paint, as you find your hands are trembling as you talk, you probably haven't felt this way. Who knows when? Maybe when you're going through a massage training. Maybe never. Cold sweats. Your body is visibly shaking. You find your voice, and as you start to speak, wonder if it was going to tremble, but it doesn't. Your voice is actually clear, and it sounds like you, despite this physical response. What do you say?
So, what exactly are you?
Sort of a hollowness to the voice. It's like she has a constant or permanent reverb. I am as you once were and are. I am all things and none. This is my curse. Simon, you have been rigid. As you feel the vibration of this woman's voice and are able to maintain your composure, as you're not literally standing there like looking at her, but you're able to do that since your rigid is still up. Nord, what do you bid to stand here and not run?
Good question.
Or do you run?
I am going to... I'm going to bid a flaw, which is bleak. Because I feel like he's pretty sad. Because he thinks his friend just died, and maybe this is him returning to the afterlife, or, you know, he's not really sure what's going on. So expect the worst.
Bidding bleak, letting this voice wash over you. It shakes you like a leaf, but that bleakness is, it almost just makes you numb. Simon, there is an authority. We'll describe it for your character this way. It's like when Dad is speaking, or when the matriarch has spoken. There is an odd power and strength in this person's voice. Like, what they say means something, whether it's true or not. It has impact. Maybe that's how it can function in your brain. And she does say those things. Actions on you guys.
Tony. I think Nord's just focused on Tony. And clearly Tony's not responding.
Yeah, he looks around, he looks up at you, as Polker does, silently, almost as though he's wondering what you're wondering.
Tony.
You can almost see a mirrored look on his face.
Is Tony going to be okay?
Onus gestures towards him. She's still holding on to his hand. She regards him. There's something strange. I mean, she's strange. But there's something strange in the way she's moving. And specifically the way she looks at Tony. Yes, I believe he will be okay. For a time. I bring him back to you, as she, almost like a dancer would lead their partner, she leads him up the hill. She doesn't move, she just motions him up as he kind of struggles on all fours to climb up the hill, and he's in the mud and stuff, climbing over stuff towards you guys. Hair falling down and everything.
Can you help us? I know that Simon's hurting, and clearly you've brought Tony back to us. I know that even we're all hurting. Leah's hurting. I'm hurting.
Pain is the way of the world. I cannot cure pain.
Can you protect Mariah?
Another curious sort of look on her face. It's difficult to know what's going on. She's just kind of cocks her head.
Here's a different question.
go ahead.
Are you working with the Blue Hand Group?
I do not know who the Blue Hand Group are.
They appear to have some kind of magical or something abilities, and they wear these gloves that are blue.
They follow the Lady of the Veil.
There's a bit of a smile that appears on her face. Again, you guys, you'd have to bid to know what the fuck she's meant to interpret her as. hint.
Can I?
All right, I'll bid interrogator.
All right, how is interrogator going to help you here?
Well, I mean, I'm, you know, used to having to read people.
All right, well, throw down for this person's mirror. It's like looking into the barrel, down the barrel of a cannon. Your character doesn't have to feel scared, but your body knows it should be.
Yeah.
So go ahead and throw down. It's three successes to be able to interrogate Onus.
I would like to bid photojournalist and activate my camera to take a photo.
Sure. You bid that. Go ahead and throw down. If it were the 2000s or 2020s, I think you would just get it for free because everyone is as ostentatious with their phones. Like, yeah. Oh my God, a nuke.
Well, I mean, you
do. And I think
he's a journalist. I mean, he's a, like, this is like his very, very small penis is very, very hard right now. I mean, it might be tiny, but that thing is a brick.
Okay.
he couldn't bend it if he wanted to. I mean,
nice.
Definitely, it's new stuff. Sorry about that too much.
I got three successes.
Nice.
I got four.
All right. As your awakened and erect penis gives you pause enough to pull out your camera, stroking your tiny, tiny dick on your way out. You hear the flash go, and you can do your worst. Leah, as you stammer to, you actually hear your voice crack. And you're like, oh, you realize you're not very intimidating with this interrogation, but you're able to continue talking. You see a flash. Onus kind of blinks at the flash. Leah, what are you saying?
Talking about the Blue Hand Group and if they were... Yeah.
She kind of smiles, or there's a chortle. Magics, you say? They sound like therapists of the Order of... And then she's about to say the word mystic when Nord says they follow the Lady of the Veil. As she stops. Oh. So your eyes have been opened.
Well, at least to a certain degree.
I was cursed, I think. Can you remove a curse?
There is a grimace and a sad laughter. It's difficult to listen to because you may have heard this sort of laughter. It's a laughter of someone who is in pain. I know much of this state of being. No, I am unable to break someone else's curse. That is not what I do.
Can you point us in the right direction? Is it, we need to go back, don't we? Or does that matter? Is that not consequential to you?
Her eyes kind of squint. You ask many things of me. Looking at you, Nord. Looking at you, Leah. I have brought you your friend. What more do you need?
No, that's amazing. Thank you. Certainly, do we need to give him anything or like treat him in a particular way? Is there an instruction manual and making sure he comes back to us?
She stops listening to you. Looking over Aaliyah and also over to Simon, thus she can just see you a little bit. There's a moment where she's waiting and you see she's about to turn and leave.
I guess we just want to know more of what we're up against because we're sort of stumbling around in the dark and maybe making some progress. I don't even know, but
what are you trying to do?
We're trying to stop Lady Kelly from completing whatever it is she's trying to complete.
What do you bid?
For this one, I will bid my nature, which is decisive.
Bidding decisive, having already made the throwdown to sort of withstand this encounter. As you say, Lady Callie, there is a twisting up of this person's face. A deep rage. It is horrifying to behold. As the trees groan, the light scintillating off of her flashes like a disco ball. There is power thick in the air. Lady Callie, Shuquis, how I hate thee. And she spits. I cannot raise a hand. I cannot raise a finger against the Dark Dreamer and her.
We can. I plan on raising a lot of fingers. Whatever fingers I have, he is the one that cursed me, I think.
You have been cursed by Lady Callie. Much better than being cursed by Levas. As you realize, that is her curse. Or that's who cursed her.
Perhaps a more useful question. Given that you clearly are no fan of Lady Kelly either. What would be the most effective way we could strike against her?
It is very difficult. She is very powerful. She is the High Priestess of the cult of Levas. And at her command are horrors beyond your imagination. Do not be fooled by her weak looking body. But that is not who she is. What hour is it as she looks up dramatically?
I think it's 1:30, maybe 2 o'clock, something like that.
Sort of a questioning look on her face. She looks back at you.
It's the hour that the monsters are let into our plane.
What have you seen?
We saw a monster. I guess it was a fish monster. We stopped it. I think we scared it off, but we didn't kill it.
Those are the harbingers. Those are the harbingers of the Dark One.
Yeah. Well, we saw the harbinger.
One of my friends was turned into some kind of similar womp-like creature.
It sounds as though they were marked. They had tasted the power, but only too late had turned away from it. These are called the unwilling. But once you're marked, and she looks over at you, Nord, as you notice, she can see you. Or it looks like she can. Once marked, it is very difficult to be unmarked.
Can I drink some tab? Or is there any kind of like root that I should maybe dig up? Is there like a chant or something I could do?
But wait, Nord, don't forget. The girl we were looking for the longest time, she had figured out some way to, some spell or something.
It was called suicide.
Protected her.
It was terrible. I don't want to do that.
No. Before that, she had figured out some kind of spell, because obviously we know that dying doesn't seem to be terribly effective in stopping such things. But she had figured out some kind of spell to protect herself from being called back as one of the unwilling.
Simon, what are you doing?
I'm sitting here. I'm kind of watching over Mariah, and I'm listening. I'm honestly listening to see if she's going to give us any actual worthwhile information. Because if not...
Sorry. Yeah.
No, you're fine.
No, I was going to say, is Simon making any realizations?
What do you mean?
Is this an in-game or an out-of-game talk?
This is an out-of-game. I was just wondering.
Do it.
Is Simon, like, is this fucking with Simon? Like, glowing lady on the beach? Your friend coming back from the dead?
It has... He's already had his breaking point a while ago. But he's still trying to rationalize it. So... And right now, in all fairness, you were making drugs around all of us just an hour and a half ago. So who knows what what that could have done to us.
There's a contemplative look on Onus's face. You will need weapons greater than those you likely possess. There is very little you can do against forces of this nature. Take heart, though. The Dark Dreamer has attempted to rise from the void many times. Her followers, while dangerous, have never succeeded in their task.
And they won't succeed this time either.
As she kind of stops and looks up, over the bluff towards you. Expectantly.
I'll go ahead and bid Truth Hurts, which is a flaw of mine. Always with the riddles and never with the answers. We'll figure it out. We'll do it. With whether you guys help us or not. I don't think we put that last thing down, but hopefully we did it some damage. I'm getting fed up with all of this rigmarole.
You see, as you're sort of looking over at her, it's pretty clear you're using words she doesn't know.
There are children's lives on the line here, and I'm tired of people hurting the innocent.
Do you speak of your own lives?
I am not innocent, but some like this girl are.
You see, she kind of like looks up. You can tell she probably can't see Mariah because she's down a hill.
No.
It is very unfortunate that these times have arrived for you. Tell me more. What do you know? For all knowledge should not be revealed to mortals.
Well, we know that they're sacrificing young girls to, I think, open this portal, or that Lady Callie wants to live forever.
They need three sacrifices. Three is the number.
I know of two. No, there are three. I think they sacrificed three of them.
And there is 12, and there is 7.
And we killed 12
stars, 7 moons.
Did the 12 have to survive?
She just sort of arcs an eyebrow as you've been talking over her.
Sorry. Do the 12 have to live? Because there were 12 followers on the beach that we froze, probably mid-ceremony, I'm guessing.
I don't know of the things you've done. There are many signs.
So the 12 and the 7. They're the ones who worship the Lady of the Veil. They are the ones... Are they the ones doing the sacrificing of the innocents?
There are realms. As you see, she starts to speak hesitantly at first. You can bid to know maybe why, or you can throw down.
I'll bid journalist.
Dude with cool hat. So, Nord, you get a narrative point by Harry Button.
Oh, nice. Thanks.
Holker, of course, gets a narrative point whenever he gets here.
And I'm
Harry Bunkton's going down. He's throwing down.
And I'm dude in weapon room.
Ooh, I get a narrative point.
Arbiter gets a narrative point. I mean, you got a bunch of narrative points. Like, you need to use those narrative points, Bill. I give you narrative points, like, all day long.
That's true. And don't slouch.
Just out of random curiosity, what would the Arbiter even do with narrative points, considering you kind of control the narrative anyway?
It's just a nice thing to do.
Okay, I'm just curious. It's like, is that even a thing?
yeah, are you guys bidding or throwing down?
Yeah, I'm going to bid journalist to see if I can find some intent of what she's saying, and I'll throw down with that.
Well, you just have to bid or throw down.
Oh, I'll bid journalist.
Yep. I will also bid skeptic, because I don't believe that she's trying to help us.
We'll start with Simon, with skeptic. It's hard to tell if she's lying or not. You don't really know. But, and if you have the predisposed idea that she is, this could just be negative. Bidding skeptic, though, you are aware of what I just said. As in, Simon becomes aware that he doesn't know. He can't be sure, which is very Simon. She is not obviously a liar. And in fact, with skeptic, it might actually, you might have the thought, she seems out of place. Maybe Simon read a book once, like a short story or something, like in one of the weird stories from the 30s or 40s, since you know he read Dick Tracy back in the day.
Yeah.
He definitely did. Of someone who time traveled and appeared in a time when there were no cars, or appeared in a time when there were cars and they were like from a previous era, and they just seem, they don't understand how the world works. It, as you look down at her, you see she's in robes carrying a walking stick through the woods. She looks like a wizard.
Yeah.
She looks like she should be at a Ren fair. As the thought might occur, she's maybe crazy, or she just, she doesn't understand some of what you guys are talking about.
If
that's what you get from the skeptic, would Nord bid journalist?
I bid journalist, but I'd like to pull out this book that I stole from poor William Tibbetts,
mm-hmm.
and show her the book and say, can Tony read this book? Is this book evil?
Do you want the bid to go to that, or do you want it to be towards getting a read off of her?
I would like to get a read off of her, but that's kind of what I'm gonna do and say as.
All right, so we'll do the read first, and then we'll go to the action. So the read is the journalist, as she starts to tell you all something about realms. Nord being high and invisible at the same time, realize she is worried that what she's about to tell you is going to blow up your brains.
Can Tony read this book to save
as you
it?
Interrupt her shoving out this book, she stops. There are realms. What? With the book. What is that book?
I don't know. I found it. It's supposed to be a magic book, like a wizard book.
As she reaches out her right hand towards you, she's 20, 30 feet away down a hill.
I don't know what the book is. I just kind of open it and show it to her.
She's 30 feet away. She can't see it.
I'll get a little closer to her. I'll get a little closer to her.
All right. Do you resist this as you feel the book tugged from your hands?
I mean, she brought my friend back, so no.
You see the book, almost like you tossed it, flutter down as it lands in her hand. She turns it over, looking at it. This has some power. Where did you get this?
Well, we got it from a hut back there, but I think the occupant is no longer with us. I don't think they were with us before, but they were a vampire or whatever. Creature.
A vampire. Oh, creature. You have creatures here. How unfortunate for you. There's literally pity in her face. This is gross. Potentially proficient magic. Yes.
You think this Tony could be can used. Read this book and not she, hurt it?
She looks up. Tony has finally clambered up. Also, Holker said he was going to be here at 8:30, so he's got about 10, 15 minutes. As she kind of smiles, yes, I do believe he could, especially now.
Well, maybe slip it in his coat or something.
As she tosses it back up to you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, and thanks again for bringing our friend back.
I simply
you were
found
going
him.
To say something about you're going to say something about the realms?
Speaking of where I found your friend, he was leaving this one and going elsewhere through the between. which is how I stumbled across him. He had the stench of the void on him, and I figured he had had a run-in with something from there. What you need to know, there are many places. You can call them realms. These gods. There's an air about, again, if you guys want to know a deeper meaning, then you can bid to know. Otherwise, I'm just going to talk.
I'm going to bid Child of the... No, I don't have that one. I would like to bid... Fudge. It worked in the past.
Because the last time I talked to a god. No, it's not. I don't really have anything. I'm going to bid for the pain, which is a bluff.
You know, when you are asked.
When in The Princess Bride, when he's in bed.
Oh, I know.
He's laying down.
I know all about it.
Yeah, for the pain. I know what I'm talking about.
You can tell that when she says gods and these people, she has a lot of disdain for them. She does not view them as gods or anything but just powerful people. Which is to say the Lady of the Veil as well. And all of it. These gods live places and their influences far and wide. And they meddle, even though they have promised they wouldn't. They find their own loopholes. I myself am not innocent of this. For I was once, as she walks just a couple steps, the ground trembles a little bit beneath your feet, Nord, Leah, as you guys kind of have to stable yourself. I was once the high priest of Levas.
Whoa.
As you see her eyes switch to black orbs, the light starts to die down, and you see like a mass of shadow tentacles exploding behind her in the forest, wrapping around the trees and like squeezing them as you hear them creaking and moving.
At this point,
I would rot such destruction upon, and as she's monologuing, yeah, what are you doing?
I am going to,
Nord, you get a pip. Gives it to the cool hat guy.
Bid detective, and I'm going to turn around. I'm going to grab up Mariah and literally take off down the other side towards the beach, away from what's going on right here.
All the bad. As it's, you hear this rustle, and the clop 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 in the distance as you turn, both of you, and sees Simon's ass running down the hill already, and Mariah is like waving on his shoulder. I'm assuming you spent cunning to do that.
Oh, yes.
Good. Yeah, that's exactly what happens. The trees around her in about 100 foot grown. Within the darkness, assuming you guys are sticking around, you see eyes, red bloodshot eyes, wink out and start looking around, almost like, what? What was that? Like cat's eyes or something. Or vampire eyes, for example, which you have seen these before. Holger has arrived!
Hello!
Ah.
In this moment, let's take a brief respite. We'll take a 5-minute break. We'll catch Holger up on the skinny. And basically, if you all want to drop cunning, then it is your turn. Otherwise, it is the antagonist's turn. So let's do a good 5-minute.
Okay,
hi, Holger.
Second.
Hi. Sorry I'm late.
One second. Should we do a quick reading of the end credits, just for funsies? I think we should, just because that's what we do when we take breaks sometimes. Thanks to our cast, Bill, Andrea, Drizzle, Polker, and Ken. Good job. Good job with that. Thanks to our Patreon members, Tim Roberts, Daniel Holker, Nostalgic, and our newest, Natalia Klein. Thanks for the score by all lowercase letters and Mr. Interrupt. Thank you, Couchfire Media, for our media production, as well as our Replay Productions. We should be back in just a few minutes. So that's cool. See you in a minute.